Hey there, this is Paul. Welcome to the Things I Didn't Learn in School podcast. I'm the host. If you enjoy these conversations, I think you'll really like the essays that I write on Substack, also under Things I Didn't Learn in School, or the books I've written, Raising a Thief and Master Minion. Another one is on the way. And if you just really dig this podcast, there's a way of supporting this too. Just go to Buzzsprout and look under ways to sponsor this, and you can make a contribution. And with that said, I want to introduce our guest, Leonid, who is a drone operator who I got acquainted with on the front lines of Ukraine. Talking with him completely changed how I understood this war and took a broad, abstract term like geopolitical tension and made it very concrete about the life of a single person trying to do his best in an incredibly difficult situation. I think you'll enjoy it. You and I we met through a mutual friend, and I've gotten to know you over text, but the people who are listening to my podcast have no idea who you are. So can you tell them who you are and what you do?
What do you want to know? What I'm doing now?
Well, first of all, just who you are, Leonid, like, where did you grow up? Where are you now, if you can say?
Mm-hmm. I'm 36, and I'm a son of a Soviet Union officer. My father is an officer. He was in armed forces, and I was born near Afghanistan because my father was at war, and the country in which I was born called Uzbekistan, and this shit always with me because in my passport. It's like place where you were born, Uzbekistan, and everyone like what? Uzbeki what? And we're living there because there was one of the third biggest Soviet Union military bases, and then there I was born. After that, we live in Russia, and all my parents and all my family were from Russia. Near Ural, Volgograd, but in 1990. My father got a flat. It's like home from the government because he was an officer. And this flat were in Kyiv, in Ukraine, before the Soviet Union fell apart. And we are removed there. And after that, Soviet Union fell apart and we're staying there. And I was growing up like a Ukrainian. And it's very interesting because I have my oldest brother, and he's living in the United States, and we don't speak, but he's supporting Russia for 10 years. Yes. I want to do such a thing, you know. I want to pay money for the people which will see him every day, different people. And they must came to him and say, you're a fucker. It's Leonid saying. And that's all. And go away, you know? So, yes. And I was living in a Kyiv in the Ukraine and like a Ukrainian after that because all my parents, my mother is a colonel. What's Stavka? Mm-hmm. How it calls? Colonel Dismiss? Yeah. Nee, запасе.
Like on reserve.
Yeah. And in 13 years I was going, and not going, but I needed to go to Kyiv Military Lyceum. It's like military school. And 4 years I were there. After that, it was university and work and all this. And I love to cook. I do a pizza and I love my work. Yeah, I think I loved my work because now I have another work and I don't have time for the things that I love and want to do. But we have what we have.
How do you have such good English? Your English is great. English or is it just a hobby?
Not one and not second because my mother don't know how am I knowing English because it's one thing that in the school I was like, okay. Получается, I don't know. I don't learn with someone. It's like the things that you can do a little better than others. So my little superpower is to know English. I don't know, maybe. Yeah.
Okay. And so professionally before the invasion, were you a soldier?
My profession before invasion?
Yeah, before invasion.
Yeah, I was the owner of the pizza place. I was working. I have business. We're doing franchising for the veterans. I'm the owner, I think, one of the most biggest and известная.
Famous.
Yes. It's a bad word, famous, but yes. Veteran-owned company.
Well-regarded.
Yeah, I think.
Well-regarded.
And, we are doing many things. We're doing pizza places, coffee shops. We're trying to help guys and girls which came back from the war to find themselves, because I know what is when you came back from the war and trying to understand what I need to do, because war things and civil life, it's two different things.
Okay,
very
so
different.
Totally. I've never fought in a war, but I could sense that even from my time in Ukraine. What are you doing right now?
Right now I'm trying to. This is a shrapnel from Russian. How it calls kasetnye боеприпасы? Kasetnye.
Armaments, probably.
No, it's English word. It's the things which came from the bombs which they dropped on us from the planes. You know.
Right. So the shrapnel, the osколки, да? Osколки.
It's like an arrow.
Nails. Yeah, like nails. Как гвозди, да?
It's arrow. Little arrow from metal.
Yep.
And I packed this in my bombs and delivered those fuckers back. And for now, we have different types of drones, and we're trying to do whatever it takes to do less of the Russians on our land. I think it will be.
Yep. Yeah. Can you say which part of the front you are on right now, or are you not allowed to?
You know, I'm without my t-shirt because it's very hot. So where am I? Kherson. It's Yug. South. Yes, south.
In the south. Yug is south. Yes, somewhere in the south.
Yeah. Somewhere there. Yeah. So we have different drones. Yeah.
How did you learn to make the drone?
Me and my team, we were never even close to the things like drones, like bombers, like intelligence. Нет, разведка. Intelligence, yeah?
It's intelligence,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, because now we have different drones and different experience about what we need to do. You know, my English is not so good as I need to be, because I can't explain.
No, if you can explain it, if you're missing a word, say it in Russian and I'll translate so the people can understand.
Okay. Мы начали с одного вида дронов. We start from one thing, from one, how it calls, с одного вида, да? Назовем его так. Мы начали с одного вида дронов.
You started with one type of drone?
Yes, perfect. And now we're working with four types different, and they do absolutely different types of work. And tomorrow we will have a package from our Minister of Defense, and we will have a new drones which will help us to do our work more better and far than we can do now, you know.
Yep, yeah. To send the drones further.
Yeah, it's very, very simple, I say, you know. Упрощено. Это очень упрощенно, да.
It's a simplified version of what you do. Yeah, I get it. What is the day of a drone operator in Ukraine like? A typical day.
Drone operator we're talking about, because if you have drone
like you,
you need to saw the enemy and helping artillery to hit the enemy, it's one type of day. If you have drones like us with little FPV, first-person view drones with bombs, and this is another type of day. If you have... So what day do you want to know?
For you, for just a typical day for you, like describe your day today.
As I'm a commander of my little team, I'm my obязанности.
Responsibilities?
Obязанности.
Responsibility?
Yeah, my responsibility is to find the targets, to speak with everyone in military which are response for this stock of our land, участок.
Our area.
Yeah, area. And planned and work there with my team. Yeah. I'm like a pilot of FPV now, but everyone is my team. We're trying to do everything, and we're trying to be multiple. I don't know. You understand,
yes.
Yeah? We're trying
many
to do everything. Yes. Yes, because tests can be very different. Today we're working like a bombers. Tomorrow we're working like ice for artillery or for another platoons which are doing some things, you know. It's different, yeah.
A lot of the Western media says that the progress on the front has been slow. You're there. What do you feel like the truth is?
I want to say to every man, women, and people which are don't here in Ukraine, don't fight. If they want to do this fast, we're glad to see them here, and we will give them a weapon, we will give everything, and together we will do it faster. So, in my country, there is a word, it's not a word, but it's like, мы все пиздатые стратеги, лишь видя бой со стороны.
Скажи еще медленнее, еще раз.
Yeah, everyone is a good strategist, you know, we're Napoleons, but only when we are watching this on TV. Because when you're here, you start to think, I'm sorry, I can't. You need to go there and get this little patch of area. It's 100 meters. Go. We will take your tanks, artillery. Please go. No. So yeah.
War is a scary, very sad business. What is morale like?
I will say,
how are they feeling?
How it calls? I will say honest, because I'm подавлен. I'm like crashed, but I'm crashed not about that we have a war. I crashed because 2 days, me and my team, we don't fucking do our work well. We don't kill anyone. We don't destroy fucking motherfuckers, Russians. And every time when we don't do our work how we must to do, this is,
yes.
It's very sad, it's very bad, and it's very, you know, even, it's some days when my team is don't even came to my room because they understand that I'm like fucking, and yeah. So I'm angry because maybe because me and my team don't do our work as well as we must to do it, maybe today someone will die from Ukrainians, and this is bad. If you want to know how my inside things with the war, I was at the war in 2014-2015. I'm owner of the veteran-owned business. I know what is this, but even with all my knowledge and understanding, it's difficult. It's difficult because many people are dying. I am the owner of the pizza place in which veterans working. Veterans came, and it's a place in which I have more than 1,000 of batches military which came to me and gave it to me, and I put on the wall. And today I know that big part of my clients, of my guests, they will never came to me because they are dead. I have some people and some friends of mine that they are now in a prisoner in Russia. And I'm understanding that this is war. It's won't be ended in months, to even year. And for me, it's difficult for understanding, but I'm okay with this, you know? It's like, it's normal, yeah? I understand that this will be difficult and blah, blah, blah. Am I crying? No, because I don't have time for this. I have work to do, and everything, only thing that I need for today, I think it's more brains for me to do my work best, and more brains for me to roll with my little team for them do their work best. That's everything. Everything else we have. Mm-hmm. And with the helping of the United States, of course, too, and this is very important thing that your country and in other countries, they are not just saying something. They're supporting us with things that we really need, you know, really.
How are the supplies on the front? Do you have everything you need? Or are there, you need the Zelensky, the president has said you need airplanes. But for a soldier like you, yes, to что вам надо?
Okay, if you will find a soldier, which will tell you that he have everything that he need, he would lie, you know, because I don't have everything. I want a Reapers from United States. I want a stealth. I want a nuclear weapon, you know. I don't have it. For my work, what we'll do and what we're working now, I think we are like, how called the best hotel in the world? Five stars, how called?
Yeah, five-star luxury hotel.
Yeah, I think me and my team now on the war, we're like in the five-star hotel. And this is the second thing why I am so sad sometimes, you know, because we have much more than have anyone who fights in Ukraine for the freedom today. And that's why I'm so sad, because when we don't do our work good, it's like, it's bad. It's bad.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host Matt Heslin brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
Mm-hmm. This is a hard question, but your work is now, in the past, it was to feed people, to help soldiers. Now your job is to kill people.
You know,
what is it like?
Maybe 10 years ago, for me, it was a problem, because 10 years ago, I was just a regular guy who worked in pizzeria, like pizza guy. And I'm not a psycho. I don't like to beat someone. I'm not conflict.
Right.
And every tattoo on my body, it's not about, I don't know, some violence. It's very, very symbolic and deep things.
What does this one say? What does the one on the chest say?
The
tattoo?
It's a crown. Yeah, it's a crown. It's a crown because Apostle Ilya, if I don't understand Bible.
Oh, okay.
When he was almost dead, the crown came to him as a symbol from the God.
Yes.
And to bring him some food, you know. And for me, it's like remembering that I must go on, it's all will be okay, and I have everything, and God is okay with me, huh?
It's biblical
imagery. Yeah. So I was just a regular guy. After I saw on TV what starts on the east of our country in Crimea when were killed first our military guy. It was Sergei Kakurin. Every day I see him face, because he's a guy, you know?
Just a good young guy.
He was too young, 23 or 24 years, you know? And I saw what were my armed forces in 2013. I'm sorry, but we don't had any army. We were heading some guys in uniform, which don't even fucking understand what they need to do, because they never learn how to do a war. It's important. And these guys start to be killed by fuckers with good equipment, with good armored vehicles. And, you know, it's a thing when you understand that the people with the power trying to get something from the people which are ill, which are bad, and extend help these people. They're trying to... And for me, it was like, what the fuck? It's not okay. It's not normal. And after that, yeah.
Right. It's like Harry Potter. It's like good, evil, Voldemort, and Harry Potter.
For me, power. Power, weapon. It's first time is responsibility. It's a responsibility for the every people that are near to you. Because the weapon, it's not a story about the most strong. No, it's about on your shoulders is a responsibility for safety. Every people that don't have this thing, you know, it's for me. Yeah. So after our first company in 2014, 2015, and after my first battle experience, of course, it was difficult, but it was with understanding that they came here to kill me.
Yes.
So I don't have any big chance, you know, how to, yeah, you know. But now I'm start to be older, and for me today it's a story about not killing. It's about story to saving people.
Yeah.
Because every good work of my team, every eliminated, destroyed vehicle, block past, military fuckers, it's always understanding that maybe with this work we're saving someone who is now on the first line.
Yeah.
That's all. Yeah.
The images of the Russian troops that have been on Telegram, that have been captured by the Ukrainian troops, the soldiers seem, the Russian ones seem lost. They seem, they don't know why they're there. They hate their commanders. They don't seem to have good equipment. Yet they also are fighting very hard. So what are с другой стороны, кажется, что они сильно воюют. То есть, с одной стороны, они выглядят очень слабой, когда украинский их берет там заложником. А с другой стороны, когда воюет, кажется очень страшно. So what is your impression of the Russian soldiers? Are they capable fighting force, or are they weak, or what type of force are they?
No, they are not weak. And all things that you are now talking about, it's only because we see on telegrams only what our military and our commanders are okay to
share.
To share with, you know? And this is important because Russians are not weak. Russians are not stupid. And everyone who thinks that this is like, you know, it's... легкая прогулка, easy walk, you know?
A stroll in the woods.
Now we're giving Ukrainians tanks, we're giving them everything, and they will fuck Russians. No. это плохо, да, к сожалению, але, ну, как бы, це...
It's bad, it's, like, unfortunately, yeah.
They have specialists, they have very, very many armored vehicles, tanks, techniques, and they have very powerful ally for today. It's China, and I'm sure that in few months we will see a Chinese technic here in Ukraine, mm-hmm. on which Russians will fight with us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there is many things that is here now already. Of course, in things like this. It's all China, you know? Russians can't do these things. They can only buy it or trade. So, and of course, Russia is not a weak enemy. It's never war and never will, because, you know, sometimes when we're watching some things on telegrams and something, we're starting to think that we understand what is going wrong here, and опираемся только на эти видео.
And only respond to those things that are in the video, yes, as opposed to the truth.
But this is not even, you know.
So this is why it's so valuable, why it's so important to talk to you. So what are the biggest misperceptions about what is going on with the war from your perspective? What should people understand? How can you paint the picture of what the reality is like?
One of my comrades from my team, Andriy Khlyvnyuk, the leader of the group Boombox, a few weeks ago, he was in London, and someone asked him the same thing, and I think that his answer was fucking perfect. For me, I understand, and everyone must understand, that this war is for a long time. Mm-hmm. Without any, блядь, кто бы что ни хотел, кто бы что ни говорил, война надолго, 100%. Fucking million.
No matter what anybody would say, whatever they would like, this is going to be a long-term war.
Yes, yes. Yeah, so for today, this war will be not only in Ukraine. If it will be only in Ukraine, I will be glad, and this will be fucking perfect, you know, mm-hmm. for the rest of the world. But I think that I know something, and I lived something, and I saw this, and for our bad, it's history is
cyclical,
cycle,
yes.
You know? And we're now trying to not to do mistakes what were done people in 40s with Germany, with Soviet Union, and I think we're doing the same shit.
We were talking about the biggest thing that people do not understand about this.
Yeah, I think the biggest misunderstanding, don't understand the things that we are that going on here is, first, Russia is not weak. Second, only because helping every free world countries, us, we're fighting now, and we have people to fight. It's a very important thing. And the third, if you don't want your people standing in fight, I think it's important to understand that if you can, please help us. You know, it's like инвестирование в будущее, investing in the future.
Investing in the future.
Because today we're paying the biggest prices on this war, but we're paying people.
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge.
So it's like about the bad friends, you know, bad friends. If you have a man or women which are earning you some money, and you say you're just a fuck, you know, it's experience, and for me it's investing in my future to not deal with this guy, you know? And this is okay. I think the same thing in here.
So you have unique background, but not uncommon. So this war, unlike when America was in Vietnam and none of the Americans spoke Vietnamese, this is war where you know the enemy very well. You speak their language. You know the culture. You have relatives that are there. So when you have relatives who support the war, support Putin.
It's very often thing. Yeah.
How do you make any sense of it?
Because, you know, it's very simple. If Russians stop in the fight, the war will be over. If we stop into fight, we will die. They will kill us. They will occupy our country, and they will do here the same shit that they have in their country, you know? And I think it's the biggest.
Also in Georgia, Gruzia.
Fuck. Gruzia, you know, no. The same thing that they have in their country. They have president for 20 fucking years. They have corruption. They have control everything. They don't have anything about free to talk, free to group.
Rule of law.
You know? I don't fucking want this country, you know? I don't fucking want this rule. I have a son in which he's 6 years old, and I don't want him to live in the country in which some fucking old bitch is the president for 20 fucking years. You know, so fuck.
У вас есть родственники, которые поддерживают Путина? Do you have relatives who support Putin, I asked, yeah.
Yes, of course, mm-hmm. of course. It's even more, I think, funny that some of my relatives which lived here in Ukraine until 2022, a big war, but for all these 8 years before, there was like, Russia is not an enemy. You know, it's not so simple to say this. And after starts the war, it's a difficult for them. It was difficult for them. But they are here in Ukraine. Everyone that in Russia, it's bad, but we don't speak for, I don't know even how many years. Because even when Russia attacked us, no one from my relatives from Russia or my friends, no one call and say, how are you? We are not support. No. No.
Do you have a psychological explanation for why? I know it's difficult to explain why, but do you have psychological explanation?
It's a propaganda. Mm-hmm. When 10 years in every angle, in all the TV shows, the main thing is a Ukraine Nazi, their gay parades and all this a cliche, you know, mm-hmm. and when someone is told and use this for 10 years, mm-hmm. say, will you support this? Of course, mm-hmm. because you don't even see another information, because in Russia, all mass media owned only government, mm-hmm. only government. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Are you seeing any Russian soldiers who decide not to fight, who say, fuck it?
No.
They fight to the death.
I don't. No. I'm sure they are somewhere, but I don't know, and I don't see those Russians.
This is all incredibly fascinating. So you fought before. Now you're there. What's the biggest thing that's been different about this war, where you are right now, than the previous time? The technology, the mood, the support, what's different?
I think the difference is when I go into war in 2014, I was not having experience or understanding what the war is, you know? It's like I do one step back forward in what I don't know will be, you know? Mm-hmm. It's important. But in this war, I already know what will be. So for me, it was at first, difficult, because as the first few weeks, Russian artillery, it was fucking, they don't, короче, если у них была цель, то они кидали в эту точку, блядь, по 100, по 200 снарядов, в одну точку.
I'm just going to translate. So he's saying if they had a goal, then they would throw 100 or 200 bombs directly at that goal. So intense artillery.
Yeah, and this was like, fuck. And I don't have experience with Russian planes and bombs, but those guys who have, it's fucking very, very uncomfortable and very, very...
scary. Scary.
Страшно. Yeah. And I think the second main thing that I understand that the good businessman or the good leader on the civil life, it's not the good commander on the war.
Oh, interesting.
For me, it was like first experience to be a commander on a war, and I can assure you that я не справился с задачей.
I wasn't up to the task initially.
Yes. And for me, It's very good because no one from my people, from my platoon, which was on the start 100 men, no one is died.
That's amazing.
Yes, and for me it was, yes. But, you know, for me it's very important for my people, must to be live and where must to do the work, because that soldier will not do anything that we need to do. So for me, now I have 7 people, only 7 from 100. And for me, it was difficult to understand it, and it was a неприятно.
Unpleasant.
Yeah, it's unpleasant thing that I saw in me, you know, because I was sure that I can be a commander, because before the start big war and from the 2015, I'm working with a weapon, I'm working with a gym, I was a very good shape. But when the stars were, I understand that my abilities and knowings, I can take it and put it in a bag, in an S, because for now, it's not working.
Before the war, there was a lot of corruption in Ukraine. Do you think that this is changing now under Zelensky?
It's changing 100%, but it can't be changed quick. I hate fuckers, and the most and the biggest angry in me starting when I hear that someone were corrupt a big money from the Ministry of Defense, from the buying some things that the front needed. You know, for me it's like, if I was a, no, I don't say you if I will, but I want to kill them, you know. I don't want to judge them, because people which are воруют.
People who steal.
Воруют. Да, people which are steal money from the country which are now in a war with the biggest enemy, it's fucking, it's not only unmoral, it's, for me, they are animals, you know? Mm-hmm. No, even animals are the best than them. Yeah.
Right. And what do you think? There's a number of... So Europe and the United States are supporting Ukraine, but there's many countries that are not. So when I've been in some of these countries, when I've traveled, they say, well, you know, they say this phrase, не все так однозначно, everything is not as clear. What do you say to these countries? Because this is Africa, this is Latin America, this is China, this is, to those people there, people listen to this podcast all over the world. So those people who are not in Europe and the United States, what do you say to them?
We will glad if you will help us, because if not, if you will not, I think your people will be in a war and very, very soon. Because if Russia will win, it's fucking... All the planet will have big problems.
Thank you for your time so much. Have a great night.
Thank you.
And thank you for your patience. Yeah, bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. We're genuinely touched by all the support. If you want to see more of this type of content, sign up to my Substack on paulpodolsky.com and become a paid subscriber. That helps support the team. You could also submit a review to Apple Podcasts, which draws other listeners to this. If you have any questions, you can email me, paul@paulpodolsky.com, and follow me on Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn. Thanks so much.